It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Morning. You all right? There's a bit of a echo there, Harry, I think. Oh, you all right, though? I hope you are. Me? I'm all right. I'm fine. Cheers. Yeah, no, thanks for asking. Yeah. Lovely cup of tea. Okay, it's just ticked 1 minute past eight. A tiny bit tardy this morning. It will happen from time to time. 1 minute past eight in the AM Greenwich Mean Time on Wednesday. It's Wednesday, isn't it? Wednesday the 11th of March in the year of our Lord, 2026. I'm joined by little Harry, my producer. How are you this morning, good sir?
Morning. Yeah, I'm all good.
Good. And you are my band of brothers. The glorious band, the chosen few. The best among us. All right, let's get straight into it. What's going on today? What's the corporate mainstream media banging on about this morning? What are they trying to beam into your eyeballs, directly into your brain box? Well, we've got US bombers take off and heading out at last. It's nearly war to war Iran. It's war to war Iran and Joey Barton. Joey Barton's a nasty piece of work, as if you didn't know. I've talked about Joey Barton once, I think once, well, maybe twice, once before on the other channel I've got, State of Politics. State of Politics, that I do with Nate, Mr. H Reviews. And in that, I said I've never liked him. I mean, he's all right. Some of his takes are quite based. But he was really dirty as a football player, really dirty. And he's also got a conviction for being a wife beater. So, okay, some of his takes are okay, fine. I don't like the guy. A few people in the comments were saying, no, he wasn't dirty. He wasn't dirty. Where are you getting that from? Like, you don't know football, do you? Did you even watch football in the 90s? It's like, bro, he was so dirty. He was so dirty. All right, Joey Barton. We're going to talk about Joey Barton a little bit today. He's in a spot of bother, he is. As well as, mostly, wall-to-wall Iran. Let's have a look then. US bombers take off. The Times, the venerable Times. Some Ropio Doris asking, am I still attractive at 64? Almost certainly not. Okay. US bombers take off from Britain after attack on Iran. All right, so RAF Fairford, which isn't very far from here, it's in Gloucestershire. It's not very far from where I'm sitting right now. RAF Fairford. The B-1. It's the B-1 bomber there. It's a fairly heavy bomber. Well, very heavy bomber, really. Okay. Hegseth promises most intense day of strikes since conflict began. He said that yesterday. I think he was talking about yesterday. Probably yesterday and today, isn't it? Now they've got full control. Now something like the B-1 bomber can fly with impunity in the skies above Persia. Now the real bombing will begin. Okay, the Queen, or rather King Charles's wife, Queen Consort really. Anyway, the Queen, Camilla, did a speech talking about abuse victims. She said, we should believe all abuse victims, urges Queen. I mean, no. Sometimes women lie. Sometimes men are victims of sexual abuse and lie. Don't believe people always, ever. That's not a good idea how to go through life, how to go through the world. Just blindly believing what anyone says because of some characteristic. Now, don't believe all sex abuse, alleged sex abuse victims, some lie. There was a story I saw just the other day. Some female cop was late to work. This was in the Daily Mail a couple of days ago. Oh, I think we did it on the breakfast show. The different bits of content, different channels I do merge into one. But we did it here, didn't we? Don't you remember? Some female cop was late for work. And in order to excuse herself, she just made up that she'd been sexually assaulted or raped in the street. Don't believe people blindly. I got sympathy for the real victims, of course. Don't get me wrong. Don't misinterpret what I'm saying. Of course, complete sympathy for real victims, but don't believe people blindly ever. All right, with that said, should we move on? Well, the thing there about Camilla is it's an indirect way of talking about Epstein and Andrew, isn't it? Apparently she never really mentioned, she did a whole speech. Apparently she didn't actually mention Epstein or Andrew. But it is, of course, in reference to, isn't it, the crimes, alleged or otherwise, of other members of her family that she's married into, isn't it? Believe all victims of abuse, including those Jimmy Savile ones, Camilla. The Jimmy Savile ones. Those ones as well, yeah? Believe all of those, yeah? Right, don't talk about Jimmy Savile. Camilla and Sausage Fingers don't want to talk about Jimmy Savile, do they? No. Okay, what else have we got? The Eye Paper. American bombers take off from UK RAF bases as Trump vows biggest Iran blitz yet. Ballroom blitz. Trump's going to blitz them. He's going to blitz them back to the Stone Age. British Hunter killer submarine leaves Australia mission early. We've got one of our nuclear submarines. The Hunter Killer one was in Australia doing something or other, training and things. And now it's left there. Everyone thinks it will go to the Middle East. Well, let's read the blurb on the front of the Eye Paper because it is good, isn't it? HMS Anson, that's the submarine, equipped with spearfish torpedoes and missiles, quietly slips away. Not that quietly, all the papers know about it. Quietly slips away from a port in Western Australia, fueling speculation it is en route to Middle East. Nuclear-powered sub would be able to reach the region in a week to 10 days. US bombers take off at RAF Fairford after building up a Gloucestershire base. US drawing up contingency plans for ongoing military presence in Middle East after war comes to an end, particularly if regime remains. The Eye Paper learns. Whitehall talks on how to constrain a new supreme leader, including fresh sanctions and possible military presence. HMS Dragon, Enter the Dragon, leaves Portsmouth to defend Cyprus, arriving in 5 days. Yeah, that's sort of the other big news, that the HMS Dragon, Enter the Dragon, has actually left Portsmouth now and is on its way. We'll probably see pictures. Well, we will see pictures of that later. And the family and friends of the crew members waving them bon voyage. Bon voyage-y. All right, the Financial Times. Most intense strikes on way, Iran told by Hegseth. Hegseth did a thing yesterday. A press conference yesterday. And he said, yeah, it'll be the most intense stuff. They're going to dial it up to 11. Now. Try and finish him off, I suppose. All right, mixed US messages after Trump hints end is at hand. Mainstream media, even a slightly more venerable paper like the Financial Times, still just engage in all this stuff, don't they? They can't just take someone like Trump or Hegseth or Rubio at their word and report what they've said. They have to spin it, don't they? They can't help themselves, it seems. Mixed messages, not really, in my opinion. Okay, all right. Aramco sees catastrophic consequences in longer war. Aramco's the Saudi Arabian oil company. Aramco. One of the biggest ones. OPEC. All that jazz. Oil price swings wildly on false reports of tanker escort. Again, as I said yesterday, I don't want to talk much about oil today. I did that yesterday. Maybe talk more about it in the coming days. Probably will have to, in fact. Spent quite a few minutes yesterday doing it, so I won't today, I think, if possible. But the prices swing wildly. Yeah, they really do. I was watching the prices a little bit yesterday evening. Just watching them, like real price, find a website with oil prices, see them ticking up and down in real time. Yeah, swinging wildly. I mean, a lot of it's under $100, under 90, a lot of it. But within a certain range, swinging around wildly. Wildly. So, yeah, that's true. Tehran warns shipping not to enter Hormuz Straits. Well, we'll see that Tehran won't be able to have much of a say about that one way or another. Pretty soon, if not now, already. Because they haven't really got much of a navy left. No air force. Not increasingly fewer and fewer missiles and drones day by day, moment by moment even. But yeah, their navy. It's almost entirely gone now. Okay. There's something about Oddie being labelled a sex, quote, a sex pest. It's not Bill Oddie, though. Relax, it's fine. It's not Bill Oddie. Someone else called Oddie. Bill Oddie, Bill Oddie, put your hands all over Bill Oddie. Do you know Bill Oddie, Harry?
I do not.
Okay, all right, we'll move on. TV presenter from yesteryear. The Torygraph, the Daily Torygraph says, Trump ramps up bombing of Iran. Okay, look, and all the people, look, there's the sailors, Royal Navy sailors on HMS Enter the Dragon. That's just what it's called now. It's called HMS Enter the Dragon. That's its name. And look, there's all the people. It should be fine. It's very, very unlikely to meet have to do any combat in the Mediterranean off Cyprus, is it? It should be fine. This MP, this woman, stood up and said in Parliament that she had been the victim of a rape. And she was arguing against scrapping jury trials. So all joking aside, that is quite brave. It's quite brave to have done that. She didn't need to do that, did she? African leaders set to demand Che Guevara-style slavery reparations. Oh, shut up. Go away. Ugh. Reparations. You owe us reparations, if anything. The amount of crime. African people that have come to this country and then committed insane crimes. You owe us reparations. How about that? Isn't there still modern-day slavery in Africa now? Most of the modern-day slavery is in Asia and Africa now. Pay yourself reparations. Reparations. Mental. We stopped slavery. We were at the forefront of the abolitionist movement in the world. We used the Royal Navy to try and stop other countries doing slavery. You're welcome. You're welcome, reparations. This morning, can't say. The morning show. The Guardian. The Guardian. All right, Liza Minnelli, 80. I thought she was dead. I'm not even joking. I thought she was dead. Liza Minnelli's still going. Oh, good on her, I suppose. At 80. Why'd they show a picture of her when she's in her 20s then? Or 30s? All right, anyway. That's news to me. Liza Minnelli's alive. Okay. The last stop before hell, Tehran residents say attacks intensifying. That's just a quote from just some random person that lives in Tehran that The Guardian got. They described Tehran as the last stop before hell. Good reporting. You could have gone with any angle, anything. They get some completely and utterly random resident of Tehran. They go with that on the front page. Enter the Dragon sails for the Mediterranean. The Independent, war threatens Easter travel as British Airways cancels hundreds more flights to the Middle East. Yeah, biggest war in a generation. Hundreds, thousands of people dying a day. The whole map of the Middle East, whole map of the world in various ways being redrawn. British tourists most affected. There's Lebanon. Look, you know they're serious when they have a black background and white writing. Independent's been really serious this morning. Trump's war over? ? Not for thousands in Beirut, left homeless by bombs. Displaced families sleep on the city streets as Israel continues to attack Hezbollah-linked targets in Lebanon, killing as many as 570 people, despite the US president saying his chaotic conflict is nearly at an end. Well, Trump's not really doing any... The war in Lebanon and Beirut with Israel is something different, isn't it, to Trump's war in Iran? Okay. Okay. The Daily Mail, the Mail Group, utter slop. Don't be fooled by a little bit of red meat they chuck out. Make you think they're based. Every now and again they'll put an opinion piece for someone who's based. No, no, don't be fooled. They're as much globalists as The Guardian. On Mother's Day, what is that, this Sunday, is it? I don't even know, yeah, this Sunday. On Mother's Day, supporters of Tehran's murderous woman oppressing regime are due to rally in London. Today we say, the Mail, the writers and editors at the Mail, drunk on their own power, we say, who are you? Just report the news. I don't want your opinion particularly. Just tell me what is or isn't going on in the news. Anyway, they say, ban pro-Iran hate march. Well, they already have. They already have. Shabana Mahmood's already come out and said it will be banned. So, all right. You got your way, writers and editors at the Daily Mail. And fair enough, actually, to be perfectly honest. Yeah, ban it. Why not? Of course. Of course ban it. What? Why do you want terrorist sympathisers marching through London? Why would you want that? The Home Secretary was under intense pressure last night to ban a pro-Iranian rally in London this weekend. It has been. All right. Things have moved on since this went to print, which is fair enough. Right, that's not the Mail's fault. The Metro. The Metro. Face of UK meets hate with dates. Great story. Great story. Apparently there was a poster at Heathrow Airport that welcomed people to England. And this guy was the guy on it. Right? The face of UK. You get to Heathrow and there's a poster somewhere or other that did have this guy going, hello, welcome to Heathrow, welcome to England, welcome to Britain, whatever. And some people online took the piss out of it, obviously. But he's hit back saying, you know, look, trader abused over welcome to Heathrow poster forgives his trolls. Does he? Does he? Great, thanks, Metro. Thanks, Metro. Multi-culti, globo-homo, slop. Absolute subversive slop. He said to his online trolls, come and meet me and we'll eat dates together. And we'll be friends. What? That's the front page. Metro leads with the story of Borough Market stall owner. Wasn't there an Islamic terrorist event in Borough Market? Yeah, there was, yeah. When they tried, they had fake bomb vests and they went round stabbing people in bars in Borough. Borough Market in London, just south of the river. London Bridge. There was a big terrorist event there, wasn't there? Do you remember that? Do you remember that? No? All right, Borough Market stall owner who chooses to fight hate with love. He's British born, though. He's born here, though. Saeed Usman Shah. He's born here, though. He's born here, though. So, who was racially abused when his image was used to welcome visitors to Heathrow, has invited abusers to eat dates with him for free. Oh, is he? Oh, well, it's all good then. Don't worry about it. Oh, well, you can't have... That's fine, then. So you can't have a country anymore. Nativists, patriots. You can't have a country anymore. He wants to combat hate with love, and you can go and eat dates with him. So... Don't worry about being demographically placed in your own ancestral homeland anymore. Don't worry about it. Don't want to be a bigot about it, do you? The Metro. All right, The Sun. Here we go, Joey Barton. Old Joey Barton. He was quite good at football, to be honest. He was good. I mean, not sort of Messi good, not like Pele good. But he was good. Okay, ex-prem ace held after attack. Barton victim blinded in one eye, maybe. Star charged as man may lose sight in one eye. So basically, in a nutshell, what happened was, he was at some golf club that he belongs to, in Merseyside, near Liverpool, I suppose. It would be, wouldn't it? And there was some sort of altercation in the bar at the golf club with this guy, this dad, head teacher. Apparently he's a head teacher. And a dad. Some sort of altercation in the bar. The guy left. The victim left. And Joey Barton and I think maybe someone else went out after him and in the road outside or nearby, somehow stopped him, got him, and beat him up badly. Apparently, like, booting him in the head when he's already on the ground, stomping him when he's already on the ground, one of the reports I read said. Don't know if all this is true, this is what I'm read this morning. And, yeah, he's in a critical but stable condition, and he might well lose the sight in one eye. So a pretty bad beating, right? That's, I mean, Barton's been charged with GBH, grievous bodily harm. He's already got a conviction for beating his wife up quite a while back. Now, he did have some interesting, funny-based takes, but he is a violent little nasty piece of crap, isn't he? Isn't he? He's horrible. Also, just yesterday, I believe, he finally lost his court case against that black female TV football pundit lady. Can't even remember her name. He said she was murdering, he was obviously speaking metaphorically, figuratively. He said she was murdering the art of sort of football punditry. She was the Rose West of football punditry. Rose West, a female serial killer. Rose West. She was figuratively the Rose West of, it's a weird thing to say, but anyway. She took him to court. It's been a back and forth for a long while. Yesterday he lost. He's got to pay a 300 grand. Or over 300 grand. Bad couple of days for old Joey. He's being held on remand for GBH, which it looks like he definitely did. Probably get a custodial conviction for that, particularly considering his previous. And he's well over 300 grand out of pocket. Well, you know. Don't act like a maniac then, Joey. Don't go around beating people up and booting them in the head when they're on the ground then, maybe. Joey Barton. Little toe rag. A menace. All right. Ex-Prem star in custody. Barton charged over horror attack. Apparently it's a horror attack, according to the Mirror. There you go. He did have some funny base takes, though. He's pretty based. Don't make up for it, does it? Can't go around just beating people up because you had some crossed words with them in a bar. Beating them down and then booting them when they're on the ground until they might lose sight in an eye. You can't do that. It's not civilised, is it, sir? Victim may lose eye. Joey Barton held over attack at golf club, says the Star. Yeah, all the sloppy tabloids just going with the Barton story. The Express, oh, it's a good paper. The Tories back our new campaign to prevent pensioners being punished in retirement. Time to stop cruel state of pension tax grab. Cruel state pension tax grab. Yeah, they decided to go with a story all about pensions, which is actually reasonably important, but relatively dull. There's Camilla there. Super haggard old Camilla. Wants to try and protect her family from the Andrew fallout. And don't mention Jimmy Savile. Whatever you do. Don't mention Jimmy. Okay, that's the papers. Should we have a look at our poll? Oh, go on. I'll leave it to Harry. What did we say in our poll today? Oh, interesting. Hopefully I find this interesting. Our poll today. Sorry, let me just get my mouth set up for the next segment before we go. Okay, the poll today, we said, what is your favourite US warplane? Now, I love aviation, civil and military aviation, on epochs of the Lotus Eaters and on my own channel, History Bro. I've got a fair bit of content about aeroplanes, mostly military stuff, often in conversation with retired squadron leader Tim Davies, RAF. A real life ex-fast jet pilot. Two on History Bro and two or three on Epochs. Talk about the history of aeroplanes, both civil and military. Everything from the Wright brothers, everything from pre-Wright brothers' attempts to fly all the way through to modern fast jets. I'm just one of those people. I'm a history nerd, right? I'm also sort of a military history nerd, so aeroplanes, love it. All right, so this sort of thing I could bang on about for ages. I have to be careful not to. We asked, what is your favourite US warplane? And you could choose from an A-10 Warthog. Instead, that's Harry's favourite one. That's Harry's favourite.
I love it. It's so cool.
With the big Gatling gun on the nose. Boop, boop. Echoing around the firmament of the sky. It's so loud. Okay, an F-117 Nighthawk, the original, the OG stealth fighter. The OG. The B-2 Spirit, the Northrop. The B-2 stealth bomber. Or the F-22 Raptor. We have some pictures, actually. We've got some pictures, because people, a fair few people, if you don't know about this stuff, if it's not your bag, you might not know what the hell we're talking about. Well, the Warthog is winning with 48%. The Nighthawk gets 10%. The B-2 gets 18%. And the F-22 Raptor gets 25%. Huh, odd. Because I would, I mean, if I took that, I would have clicked the B-2, I think. It'd be between the B-2 and the Raptor. Probably the B-2. And the B-2's third. The Warthog's clearly winning there. For me, it's just about aesthetics, not really necessarily its battlefield capabilities. For me, I'm just talking about, well, the question is, what is your favourite? By whatever criterion. The B-2, there's something about the B-2 I find almost mesmerising. Let's have a quick look at them, in fact, because you might not know what on earth we're talking about here. All right, so here's an A-10 Warthog. That picture there is sort of what it looks like. We can see what it looks like. It's got these giant engines. It's really a ground attack plane, really. Like it can drop bombs and things, but what you've really got is on the nose of it a giant Gatling gun, like a giant minigun. And it sweeps in and attacks things on the ground. Devastating, absolutely devastating. I think it's really cool. It is really cool, but I think it's kind of ugly. Harry?
It is ugly, right? But it go brrr.
It is cool. But then sometimes things that are ugly are like also at the same time somehow beautiful. Aren't they? Like a Lamborghini Countach. It's an ugly car, and yet it's also beautiful, isn't it? Talking of something that's ugly yet beautiful, I mean, so here's the F-117 Nighthawk. Right, the original stealth fighter. Look at that. That's sort of ugly, isn't it? It's kind of ugly, but then also at the same time, there's a beauty to it, isn't there? Ugly yet beautiful. A remarkable piece of engineering. Absolutely insane. Look, that's ugly, isn't it? That is ugly. And yet, also majestic. Somehow. Okay, and then what have we got? The B-2. So I would click on the B. I would be the B-2. Look, there's something about that thing, this thing. Like in profile, it looks like some sort of owl or a hawk or a falcon in mid-flight. Again, a stealth capability. It's much, much, much bigger. This is a bomber, not a fighter. Like the different angles you can see it from. Again, a remarkable piece of engineering, if nothing else. Absolutely remarkable. Its profile, super sleek. I mean, you could accuse the A-10 of being ugly. Surely no one can accuse the B-2 of being ugly. Remarkable thing. Absolutely remarkable thing. No one else has got them. Only the US has got them. I mean, they cost like £1 billion a piece or something. Something like that. Yeah, even like Israel and China and Russia haven't got an equivalent or anything. Okay, and then finally the F-22. Basically, the most cutting-edge modern fighter. I mean, that is sort of a work of art, isn't it? Isn't that a work of art? I mean, it's a machine purely designed for killing and destruction. Let's not lose sight of that. Remember, its entire purpose, its entire utility is to cause death and destruction. And yet, it's like something beautiful, isn't it? Bird of prey. Bird of prey. Flying high. All right, okay, enough about that. I could carry on just talking about aeroplanes all day. It's not an aeroplane show. Okay. But still, the A-10 Warthog is still winning. Still winning. The poor old B-2 coming in third there. I think that's the first time, is it? The first time when my opinion has not sort of topped the poll. I don't mind. In this instance, I absolutely don't mind. Well, I don't mind ever, really. But the A-10, you know, if you'd asked me just before this to predict, I wouldn't have thought the Warthog would be winning. Certainly not by that margin. It's dominating it. Warthog's dominating it. People just love that minigun, don't they? People just love that Gatling gun on the front of it. Okay, all right. Should we have a, all right, enough of that, enough of that. Let's move on. Should we have a look at the websites? Let's have a look at the websites. Okay. All right, on the BBC, what have we got here on the BBC? Oh, yeah, so the Iran Navy, what's left of it, is getting wiped out moment by moment. So Iran have got mine laying ships. They're trying to lay sea mines all through the Straits of Hormuz just to screw with everyone, just to screw with oil and the whole rest of the world, basically. And the Americans are just taking about that's some sort of kill vehicle, isn't it? What it is. It's just about to hit there and blow the thing to sky high. All right. What else did we have? There was something on Sky News I thought was interesting. Oh, yeah, so Sky News is reporting that Al-Quds March, i.e. pro-Iranian march that was going to go through London, has in fact now been banned. The police formally asked the Home Secretary to ban it, and she has. So there you go. I mean, good. Why would you let that happen? Why? Well, should be a no-brainer. Yeah, to prevent a serious public disorder, because there's lots of sort of anti-Iranian people in Britain, in London. They might well turn up mob-handed at that rally as well, and then you just get Iranian people fighting each other in the streets of London. Great. Great. Exactly what I don't want. Send them all back when we can. Send them all back. Don't want them here. I don't want them here. I wonder if my R2C will go back to Iran if and when it's safe. It's not a pop at my R2C. I genuinely wonder. Okay. David Lammy's attempts to change the entire jury system. Hundreds of years of glorious tradition that the world over copied because it was so good, having jury trials. He just wants to scrap. Because it's not his history, is it? It's not his heritage. It's cleared the first, as you can say there, it's cleared the first hurdle, but it's still a ways to go yet. before it's sort of actually brought in as law. We'll see if it's able to stop. Today might be a big day for Mandy, as a lot of the files, the first Manson files set to be published today. Apparently the government is going to release them after Prime Minister's questions. And I just know, every Wednesday is PMQs. Sometimes, fairly often, the Prime Minister's not actually there for whatever reason, and it'll be someone else will do it, but still every Wednesday, even if it's the Deputy Prime Minister that's actually at the dispatch box. So they're going to release the Mails and Files after PMQs. Is it midday? I think it's midday. I used to watch it. Yeah, usually midday. I used to watch it nearly every week, if I could. Obviously at work most days, but at lunch. Take your lunch, if you can, at the right time to watch PMQs. Well, they're releasing the Mandy files after that, so that he doesn't have to... So that Sir Keir Starling doesn't have to answer any of questions related to that. Classic. All right, the Daily Mail. There's one or two bits in the Daily Mail. Oh, look, there's the remnants of the Iranian female football team returning to Iran, the ones that decided not to stay in Australia. The Iranians accusing the Australians of sort of effectively, in some sense, kidnapping the other ones. 7 defected, but rest reluctantly boarded a plane. What horror awaits Iran's brave women footballers at home? Yeah, well, it's all a joke anyway. They're terrible at football. I know this is not the point. I know that is besides the point in all of this. They're not really footballers. I mean, you could get anyone, literally anyone, put a football at their feet, get them to just sort of gingerly toe poke it. They've never kicked a football in their life. Just gingerly toe poke it. You're a footballer now. You're a female footballer now. Don't worry you've got no skill or ability or vision. Don't worry that you're crap at football. You're a footballer now. Oh, yeah? Oh, all right. Women's football is a joke. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely absurd. Even the best teams, like the final, quarterfinal, semi-final of the Women's World Cup, the best teams in the world, it's clown shoes. They can barely string together passes. It's terrible. The quality of the football is terrible. They've got no skill, no power, no vision. They're not making any sort of insight. There's no real decent movement. And that's the best international teams I'm talking about. Women's football. What a joke. Okay. Pro-Iran hate march is banned. Home Secretary bows to huge pressure and halts London rally by backers of Tehran's murderous women oppression regime. That's what they're going with a lot of it now, that the problem with the Iranian regime is their hatred towards women. Of course it is, and that's real and documented and stuff, but that's the angle, that when you've got a very, very few words, very, very few adjectives to use to describe them, you go with the woman angle of the Iranian regime, not all the other things. First and foremost, not that they exported terror around the world and things. That they're out of order to women. All right. What a stupid slop story. When this person was a kid, somehow a photo was taken of her and like people said she's the most beautiful child in the world or whatever. And then she's grown up and she said that caused loads of pressure on me in my life. How is that a story? The Ayatollah, this is a proper story, a £1 million London property portfolio. Oh. That was news to me this morning. I didn't know that. That came as news to me. Okay. There's certain parts of London, particularly West London, places in and around West London, like Kensington, so places like Kensington, Pimlico, Chelsea, places like that. Loads and loads and loads of massive houses. Loads and loads of people like Arabs, Iranians, live there. It's crazy. Go to somewhere just west of of sort of where Parliament is, places like Kensington, and suddenly like the shops, they're all like in Arabic. In London. Knightsbridge. Walk around Knightsbridge. Oh, there's a shop there. All the frontage of it is in Arabic. Oh, there's loads of women walking around with their hair covered. Like, clearly sort of fully Arab. Whether they're Kuwaiti, Bahraini, whatever. I don't know what, you know, it could be anything. So there you go. The Ayatollah's son, not surprising to me, got £100 million London property portfolio. Okay. Other countries, many other countries, lots of other countries have got rules where you can't necessarily buy a property or buy and run a business if you're a foreigner in their country. Or if you do really want to, you have to jump through loads and loads and loads of red tape. Loads before they let you do it. That's normal. That's okay. That's okay to do that. Putting your natives first. Putting your own people first. That's okay. That's normal. That should be allowed. The idea that we'll just sell an endless amount of London property to whoever, Russians, the son of the Ayatollah, Arabs. Just let Russians and Arabs buy up all the great properties in London. Because if we don't allow them to do that, we're somehow small-minded bigots, Nazis or something. No. See, like, Russians have bought loads and loads of crazy big properties in London, and they just keep them as an investment, and they're just left empty. They don't even live there. How is that good? How is that in our interests? It's mad, isn't it? And then so you end up with this. You end up with something like this, that the Ayatollah's son has got £100 million London property portfolio. What a perversion. Because to have stopped him in any way, to pass some sort of law that prevented that would be, what, racist or bigoted in some way. No, it's not. It's normal. It's normal. Okay. For many, many, many years, we have been subverted and perverted by people who hate us and mean to undermine us on every level. Will try and tell us that preventing something like that in the first place by having legislation that is pro-native is evil. You're the same as a Nazi, if you want that. That whole paradigm's got to be washed away. It's got to be cleared out. It's got to start putting Britain first. Macron's armada, French carrier group steams towards Iran as Britain dithers and the Royal Navy withers before our eyes. And there you go, the French, some schematic drawings of the French aircraft carrier. So you know. All right, what have we got? Yeah, there was a footage of various things hitting, various missiles hitting Iranian ships of various types. Hegseth looking hawkish. He's coming to get you. As I say, I've said it before, this thing, like, by the time the Pentagon is looking at you very seriously, if you're the leader of a foreign country, by the time they're looking at you very seriously, you're in trouble already. Very much in trouble. It's when the State Department starts saying things. That's when you have to sort of perk up. I said before, when the State Department, the American equivalent of the Foreign Office, when they start saying, we see you, stop behaving the way you're behaving, like we don't like what you're doing, sort your life out, sort of thing, that's when you should probably take notice and start doing it. Because when the State Department, when they've exhausted their diplomacy and they pass the portfolio over to the Pentagon, that's when you're in trouble. That's when it starts getting a bit late. So by the time the US military is just like staring with deadpan, dead-eyed staring at you. Bit worrying. They're going to do something in Cuba. I think they're going to do something in Cuba. Okay. Finally, the dragon breaks free from its chains. Enter the dragon. Type 45 destroyer ends Britain's embarrassing failure to send single ship. All right. Okay. USB-1s take off from Fairford. Okay. Oh, yeah, this story. This is weird. I've not seen this in any other of the news this morning, but I had to scroll fair way down there, even on the Man Online. At least six dead as man douses himself in petrol and sets himself alight on a bus in Switzerland. More victims are hurt. Police won't comment on whether it is terror. Oh. Oh, well, that sort of thing just happens now, doesn't it? In multicultural societies. That's just the price you pay for the strength of having a multicultural society. Barely news in the mainstream media. I have to scroll down a fair way on the Daily Mail and not seeing it anywhere else. Just a guy self-immolating on a bus, killing six people, wounding loads of others. Just a few more deaths. Just a few more victims on the altar. Sacrificial victims on the altar of multiculturalism. The globalists don't care. People with the globalist worldview don't care at all. At all. The deaths of those people and the people whose lives might may well be ruined that were didn't die but were terribly burnt or wounded. Someone like Lisa and Andy. Someone like Yasmin Ali Baba Brown. The folks at Hope Not Hate. Don't care. Don't care. Europe needs to be less white. It needs to be as brown as possible. And anything short of that makes you evil for not wanting that as quickly as possible, as much and as quickly as possible. So these people's deaths doesn't count for anything. Probably delight in it, if anything. Yeah, that's what you get. That's what you get for having a white, homogenous Switzerland in the first place. It's mad, isn't it? What a mad worldview. What a mad way to think and view the world. Evil, despicable thing. Globalism, like a forced globalism. You must have more foreign people that may or may not have antithetical views about you and your society. You must accept foreigners and strangers in uncapped numbers, regardless of who they are, what they're like, what's in their hearts and minds, regardless of any of that. You must accept them. Otherwise, you're the problem. What an insane thing. It can't last. It won't last. Remigration is inevitable. It is. It is inevitable because it has to be. At some point, regardless of how dark it gets before that point, it would have to be. Okay. The Sun. Looking at some detail about the Joey Barton attack. Well, that's where it happened, near the golf club. There's blood on the road. All the blood. Surely that's sand covering up some blood. That's bad, though. It does look bad, doesn't it? It's just as they... If that's the golf club. Just as they came out right in front of the golf club. You got him just as he came out. It's like waiting for the kid outside school, after school. Joey Barton. Weirdo. Okay. There was one story, wasn't there? Was there that I thought was interesting? Oh, yeah, this one. Okay, this guy, Ian Austin, writes an interesting thing in The Sun today. Let's have a quick read of it. Ian Austin wrote, "Why new anti-Muslim hostility definition will make it hard to tackle extremism." Yeah, of course it will. Let's have a quick read of what he wrote. Labour's latest great idea is a new official definition of anti-Muslim hostility. This has been defined as intentionally engaging in, assisting or encouraging criminal acts, including acts of violence, vandalism, harassment or intimidation, whether physical, verbal, written or electronically communicated, that are directed at Muslims because of their religion or at those who are perceived to be Muslim. That's the government definition of this thing. And Austin writes, a working group has been looking into it for months and ministers say their plans will tackle prejudicial stereotyping of Muslims. I think it will be a disaster. The government, police, universities and other public bodies have pandered to extremists for too long. Yeah, already our society is ripped apart in various ways because people are terrified to say boo to a goose. Aren't they? That's the problem, isn't it? In loads of different ways. Like that Manchester Arena bombing, Ariana Grande concert bombing. The people were suspicious of the guy but didn't want to go up to him through fear of being called a bigot or a racist. Austin goes on, grooming gangs abused young girls because the police and local council worried they'd be accused of racism. Yeah. West Midlands police banned Israeli and Jewish fans from watching Aston Villa play Maccabi Tel Aviv after a campaign by racist, extremists, sectarian politicians and hate preachers. Yeah, don't hold back, Ian. Good. Yeah, great. This is a great article. A school teacher in Batley, West Yorkshire, remains in hiding 5 years after angry protesters threatened him for showing pupils a cartoon of Muhammad. People even investigated me for a so-called non-crime hate incident for calling Hamas an Islamist death cult of rapists and murderers. All that happened without this new definition. How much worse will it get when it comes in? Yeah, good question. Yeah. The government says it is part of its strategy to tackle anti-Muslim hatred, yet its opponents think it is because Labour is losing votes in the Muslim community. There's a fire alarm here at Lotus Eaters headquarters. At 8:08, we usually get warning of that, and it's usually mid-morning. Hope it's not a real fire. Well, it won't be. It'll still be going off. Anyway, let's carry on. Yeah, his opponents say it's because Labour is losing votes in the Muslim community. Yeah. Starmer's pandering to the Muslim vote. Even though most Muslims will be voting Green now, or independent Muslim candidates. They're flocking away from Labour, so it's all a bit late, isn't it? Even if it wasn't, what a disgusting, weird thing to do. Throwing the natives under the bus. It will divide communities instead of bringing people together. Extremists will use it to prevent legitimate debate. Yes, of course they will. Worst of all, it will make it harder to tackle Islamist extremism, which should be the top priority. Yes, of course. Absolutely right. And it is unnecessary, as it is already illegal to express or incite hatred because of someone's race or religion. Yeah, another brilliant point. Funny. The vast majority are appalled by racism. Most of us couldn't care less about people's background or religion. The only people who are bothered are the hard left, the far right, woke students and public sector lefties. Okay, getting off the point a bit, but look at the state of this. State of them. You won't be able to notice and say stuff like this. If they get their way, if Labour get their way, just this, just a segment like this, where I bring up an image like that of the grooming gangs, Pakistani rapists, child gang rapists, just bringing up an image of it and saying what I just said, that would become illegal. Is that the society we want? Is that the society anyone other than these people and their apologists want? No, it's not. Ian Austin goes on to say, and Islamic extremists who divide our communities support our enemies abroad. Pro-Gaza MPs are already calling for the new definition to apply to politicians, weaponising it to shut down discussion they don't agree with. Yeah. And I bet Islamist groups have already got lists of people to refer as soon as it is introduced. Yeah. The government should be facing up to what's really driving us apart. Islamist extremism is the biggest threat we face, but the government's 69-page report devoted only 2 sentences to discussing it. Yeah, it's not about tackling Islamic extremism. It's about preventing anyone else from tackling it, isn't it? From discussing it, even. How evil's that? In England. In Britain. We're not talking about Saudi Arabia. I'm not talking about Indonesia or Morocco. In Britain. This government is mad. mad. Okay, we ran out of time, so I'll just move on. Okay. Well, there's loads more that could be said today, but we are running out of time. It is nearly 5-2 already. We've got a whole bunch of Rumble Rants and Super Chats. Should we have a quick look at On This Day in History? You guys like that, don't you? I like doing that. The 11th of March. What happened on this day on the 11th of March through the centuries? Okay, in the year 843, icon veneration is officially reinstated at the Hagia Sophia Cathedral in Constantinople. There's a picture of the Hagia Sophia. I've personally been there myself. Built during the age of Justinian the First, in the 6th century. That building there, not the minarets. The minarets were placed there after the 15th century. So don't count the minarets. The main bit of that building was built in the 500s AD. And it's still standing. It's giant, it's gigantic, it's massive. It's inside, it's incredible. Absolutely incredible. A marvel. A marvel of a thing. The Hagia Sophia. In Constantinople. Modern day Istanbul. A remarkable thing. If you can ever go, do it. Of course, they've turned it into... Well, it's not exactly... It's not a mosque. It has been used as a mosque in the past. It's not actually sort of a functioning mosque. They've got the big blue mosque right next door. Almost next door. Near it, anyway. Very near it. Which is a functioning mosque. But they have got various things about Islam and Islam in it. Because, obviously, it's Turkey. It's in Turkey. Anyway, the Hagia Sophia. A marvellous building. Okay. On this day in 1502, founder of the Safavid dynasty, Ismail I, is crowned Shah of Persia. There you go. Don't know much about that, I must admit. All right. On this day in 1966, military coup led by Indonesian General Suharto breaks out. So if I recall, I do know a bit about that. Interesting thing in the 1966, remember, that's in the Cold War, near the height, if not the height, sort of, kind of the Cold War. Indonesia had been ruled by communists for a while, and lots of more Chinese people were living there and taking over in various ways. And in Indonesia, there's all sorts of racial and ethnic tensions. There's lots of different people, different tribes, different ethnicities in Indonesia. Often it is, isn't it, in the world, wherever you go, the different ethnicities hate each other and have got animosities going back centuries and all that sort of thing. Anyway, by 1966, the Indonesian army had had enough of all of that, and they just killed between 500,000 and maybe 1 million people, Chinese, all the communists, various other groups of people they didn't like. So it's an anti-communist military coup d'etat in Indonesia in the mid-60s. It got real dark real quick. Okay. On this day, 1985, Gorbachev replaces Chernenko. Is that how you say it? Chernenko. Yeah, sometimes in the Soviet Union, they'll have sort of an interim leader. Well, if a big leader, like, I don't know, like Stalin or Khrushchev or whatever, dies, usually there might be an interim leader for a while before the next big one comes along. So, okay, Gorbachev, 1985, gets in. It's only a year later, isn't it, that it was Chernobyl? Okay, on this day in 2011, a 9.0 magnitude earthquake strikes 80 miles east of Sendai, Japan, triggering a tsunami that kills thousands and causes the second worst nuclear incident in history at Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant. I remember that, Dave. I remember that very clearly. I was working for Bank of New York Mellon, and already by 2011, you would just go on YouTube or any number of news websites, and there'd be loads and loads of clips coming flooding in. It's mad. To this day, the footage of that tsunami hitting Japan is crazy, unbelievable. Still, some of the craziest clips you'll ever see, I think. See, Harry, you're so young. How old were you in 2011? You would still be a little kid, right?
I would have been, six?
Feel old yet? Yeah, so you said, I guess you don't remember it, really.
No,
right, okay, fair enough. Because you always think of a tsunami. There'd been tsunamis before. There'd been one in like 2001, wasn't it, or 2002. But still, you sort of think of a tsunami as a giant wave, like a really tall wave, a wave that's like the size of a block of flats that comes in and just smashes, crushes everything. But that's just not what it's like. It's more like the tide coming in, just the sea coming in, relatively slowly, really. Well, it's actually really fast, but it's not a giant wave. Just the sea coming in and it just keeps going. Like the tide coming in, but just does not stop. Until the coastal city is completely underwater. Man, it's just crushing everything in its way, completely unstoppable. Yeah, I'm just thinking now about some of the clips of footage of that tsunami. Yeah, none of that is to even mention the Fukushima Daiichi thing where a couple of their reactors blew up in the end, ultimately, didn't they? Like, not Chernobyl style, but there was fallout. I think we saw in the news recently, didn't we, even this year, that power plant is back up and running now. Finally. What, like 15 years later or something? Okay. On this day in 2018, China's National People's Congress approves removal of term limits for a leader, allowing Xi Jinping, a.k.a. Winnie the Pooh, to be president for life. Yeah. He's like a new Mao, isn't he? They used to have things in place where term limits for China, but he got rid of them. So he's there until he dies. He's going to pull a Mao and he'll be there to his last breath. And who knows how long that'll be. I mean, he's no spring chicken. I think he's in his mid to late 70s. Nonetheless, he could be there for another 20 years. Who knows? Some Chinese people live really old, don't they? He might be there for another 20 years. He might die of natural causes tomorrow. Who knows? But he will be there until he dies of natural causes, won't he? Okay, on this day in 2020, COVID-19 declared a pandemic by the head of the World Health Organization. That whole period of time. Crazy. I'll never do it again. I'll never allow that to happen to me again, to be manipulated like that. Not that I was manipulated much. Barely wore the mask. Didn't pay attention. Didn't get the vaccine. Absolutely no way. But even the small amounts of manipulation they did. You've got to walk around a shop in a certain pattern. You have to wear a mask if you're going to go on a train or something. No, I'm not doing any of that ever again. No. Not on the strength of a lie. If it's real, though, right? Just say there was some sort of bird flu that did have like an 80% mortality rate and millions of people around the world were dropping like flies. Okay. Like Ebola suddenly could be transmitted through the air. Or AIDS. You could get it just through coughing and sneezing and millions of people were getting it. Okay, then I'd start playing by some rules. But if it's on the strength of some liar, not doing that. And I'll put up with the consequences. Okay, let's have a look at the Rumble Rants and the Super Chats. What have we got here today? What have we got? All right. Luke Stewart says, G'day, Bo. If you still didn't get a chance to see the news about the New Zealand captain, I did. Check out the video New Zealand Navy commander from heroic actions to court-martial. Okay, I did. I did look at it and read about it. In fact, even I've got the thing here. Yeah. Cruel trolls target female Navy commander Yvonne Gray after her $100 million Royal New Zealand Navy ship sank off Samoa. Yeah, and I read it. It's mad, isn't it? That was a ship. It's not a small ship. It's not gigantic, but it's not a small ship. $100 million Aussie dollar or New Zealand dollar, I suppose. It's not a small ship, is it? That's the woman. She's a lesbian. And the details of it are mad. It ran aground, set on fire, and sunk. Could you fail any harder than that? And some of the people defending her, or her trying to defend herself, saying, you don't know the pressures of command until you're in like a decision-making position of authority and command like that. You don't know what it's like. Don't care. No, it's your job not to run it aground and let it get set on fire and sink. Now, that was your job. That was your job. And for whatever reason, you failed. For whatever reason, you failed as hard as it's possible to fail. So there you go. Yeah, funny here. People on social media saying the commanding officer, Yvonne Gray, was a DEI hire. Her qualifications, a woman and a lesbian. Well, there's no other way to cut it than that she must have been incompetent. That is incompetence. Whether she was a DEI hire or not, she was incompetent. That's a statement of fact, isn't it? Another sarcastically commented that Commander Gray might stand alone in the world history among all naval officers. She sank 12% of her country's fleet in a day without enemy engagement or storm. Diversity is our strength. Someone else said, at least it sank with pride. Yeah. Certain things demand a high level of ability and confidence and skill. And for whatever reason, it may have had absolutely nothing to do with her gender and sexuality. It may or may not, I don't know. But the bottom line is she was incompetent. Because it ran aground, set on fire and sank. Anyway, there you go, Luke. I have finally looked into it and there you go. All right. Luke also said, wait, are they saying that the US and Israel what the US and Israel are doing is turning it into the last stop before hell, or it wasn't already the last stop before hell of the government killing protesters, Protestant and raping girls? Okay, I get what you're saying. Yeah. Tehran is the last stop before hell now. Is it? It was pretty hellish before though, right? It was a very, very oppressive, hell-like city before that, was it not? Like Luke's saying. Yeah, right. Usha says, thank you for your knowledge on aircraft. I only know of the F-22. No, my pleasure. We could talk about aircraft ranges. Again, on Epochs, if you want to join, go to loadseaters.com. It was £5 a month, bronze tier membership. You can get hours of me talking about aeroplanes, if that's what you want. Busted Brian says, not sure if you care much about Tucker Carlson. I quite like Tucker. He's got a few things he said, a few takes he's done, which I'm like, But mostly I like a lot of his takes. Some of his takes about individualism, I don't. They're a bit boomer. But he's had loads of other takes I agree with. So, I say, not sure if you care much about Tucker Carlson. He's now madly claiming Trump's unconditional surrender terms are green light for boots on the ground and indiscriminate rape of wives and daughters. I don't know. I have to see what Tucker said about it. Like I say, I would put it at 70-80% of Tucker's takes I agree with. But that is to say, a big chunk, 20%, maybe a fifth of things Tucker says, I'm like, no, dude, that's I don't agree with that. That's wrong and weird and doesn't help us as a people. So still sort of an 80% hit rate is not bad, but some fundamental things he said before about having any sort of collective consciousness. Like he's against that. Why would you be against that, Tucker? Right. Busted Brian again says, per your poll, Bo, I'm a former aircraft armament systems specialist. Oh, cool. For the F-15E Strike Eagle. But my fave is the Warthog. Got to actually get into the 30mm guns, during training. Yeah, it's interesting to see, like, the Warthog. Like, inside the Warthog is all the guts of that giant Gatling gun, right? 30mm gun. It's basically like an aeroplane built around a 30mm Gatling gun, isn't it? Sort of what it is. a mad thing. But that's cool. You were in. You worked on Strike Eagles. The old F-15. Lovely. Another beautiful aircraft. F-15, F-16s, both beautiful. F-18s. Beautiful things, I think. Okay. Luke Stewart says, I also enjoy using Rumble to chat now. No ads interrupt your live stream. And I can say, let's nuke those effing child graping C's. I can't say this stuff on the morning show, Luke. Come on, give me a break. Cut me some slack here. Without getting edit message refusal to send. Yeah, but you're sort of asking me to read that out now, so I've got to be... If you send it into State of Politics, live chat, I'll read that out unabridged, but not on the breakfast show, dude. Come on, help me out. Help me out here. Okay, Luke also said, to be honest, I'm not worried about Islamic terrorism. It will just create more reasons why we should just get rid of Islam from our countries. Deus vult, brothers and sisters, Deus vult. Yeah. I would, you know, I'd like to see as much Islam in Britain as there is Christianity in Mecca and Medina. None. That's a random name, says... It's 5 a.m. here in Canada. I don't think I can make it to the end. I don't think I can make it to the event on April 11th. Any idea when the next one will be? Hopefully we'll get told a bit more in advance. Love you, no homo, Captain Darling. Thank you. Cheers. I appreciate it. So anyone who doesn't know, on the 11th of April this year, there will be a live event, Lotus Eaters live event in a theatre in Swindon on a stage. Get tickets, go to lotusseaters.com, buy a ticket. We're still working out exactly what it's going to be, but it will at the very minimum, there'll be Dan Tubb, Luca, Carl, Big Harry and me on stage, sort of doing a podcast, stroke lads hour thing all together, but maybe some of us talking individually. I don't know, we're still talking about exactly what it's going to be. It'll be like two and a half, 3 hours long, something like that. And there's a bar in there, a couple of different bars in there. Come see us, have a beer. Lefties need not apply. We are getting loads of bouncers for the door. Literally loads. So. The venue has hosted all sorts of people from Katie Hopkins to Nigel Farage. So hopefully they won't cancel on us at the last minute under pressure from some insane commies. Okay, Fictagious says, no news about the illegal vape shop that burned down the entire building. Oh, there is some news being out. Yeah, it wasn't on the front pages, was it much? But there is some version news. There was a thing that, story that the guy that owned it hadn't registered. You need to register to be a business, and he hadn't. So it's completely illegal, third world scumbag. Literally that. Great. Great, but diversity is a strength, our greatest strength. Luke Stewart says, the tsunami I always remember is the Boxing Day tsunami. Yeah, that was the one from earlier in like 2001 or something. Yeah, the Boxing Day tsunami in Indonesia, only because at church they were talking about the Christians, about the Christians got kicked out and had to go up to do Christmas. They say Boxing Day. They stay Boxing Day. Okay, yeah, but that one on Boxing Day. I think, didn't Richard Attenborough's daughter die in that? Yeah, that was a bad one. Even the clips of that are remarkable and incredible, the various clips that come out. But the Japan one, even more. But yeah, that one was bad as well, wasn't it? The Boxing Day one. I remember that quite clearly as well. Casa Dwen says, there's a famous story about a Japanese mayor who was mocked for years for wasting money on a tidal defence system. Then his town was the only one to survive in the area when the tsunami hit. Classic. Pardon me. Yeah. Classic, isn't it? People think you're crazy until it happens. And then you're vindicated, aren't you? So good on that, Japanese mayor. JC Warlock, if that's how you want it read. JC Warlock says, I found Michael Jordan in the files. The Epstein files? I don't know. Yeah, I found Michael Jordan in the files. He visited Ireland with porn star Sydney Storm. His mobile number was unredacted. I called it, no answer. Good show today, bro. Cheers. Cheers, yeah. Really? Michael Jordan's mobile phone number was unredacted in the Epstein files? Well, guess he found that out quite quickly and changed it, I suppose. That's interesting, you saw it and just rang it. Hey, Michael. Oh, just one last quick rumble rant just came in from the same person. JC Warlock says, diversity is their greatest strength indeed. It's working out great for them. As for us, they hate us. When they say our, they are talking about themselves and their peers, not us. They don't care, lol. Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah, absolutely correct. Okay, we now got the YouTube super chats. There's a fair few. It's already 4:15, so I'll whip through them. I say that all the time and then can't help myself from making a comment. But I've got to whip through them, I'm afraid. I've got other things I've got to record today. It'll be a busy day for me today, a bit. Okay. Global Church History says, today in 1641, Jesuits and natives win Battle of Mbororo. I don't know that. I don't know how to pronounce that. Mbororo. Wait, is that a typo or something? I don't know. I'm afraid I don't know that. 1641, the Jesuits. Okay, I'm sorry. Can't add to that, I'm afraid. Okay, Mr. Pastry 2010 says, seeing as you done Tang Soo Do, would you ever stand in for Chuck Norris? No, I'm too old. Fighting's too old. I'm too old for fighting. People before have said, do you want to do a celebrity boxing match or something to me? Get some other lefty boxer type person who's prepared to do it. Would you do it? I'm like, no. I've been in a few fights in my life. I've been smashed in the face a few times. It's not any kind of fun. It's not fun. I stopped playing rugby when I was quite young because I don't want to get hurt. I don't want to get injured. It's a young man's thing. It's before you've had life-changing injuries in your life. You think you're indestructible. Then, probably at some point in your life, you'll get some kind of injury, whether severe or not, that you realise, oh, I just live with this now for the rest of my life. Whatever it is. Bust your knee, bust your neck or your back in some way, get terribly scarred up, bust an elbow maybe, something like that. And you realise, oh, I will never fully recover from that injury. I just simply have to live with it for the rest of my life. Get one or two or three of those and you realise, yeah, no, I don't want to risk getting my orbital cracked, getting my jaw broken, losing teeth, getting your nose busted flat, something. I'm not interested in risking that. So I'm not doing any celebrity fighting. No. Okay. Liam Sexton says, greetings from the Pacific Northwest of America. Greetings, sir. I'm in the Navy and most likely know people that are out in Iran right now. Well, I mean, good luck to them. I hope they obviously hope they come back safe and sound. 10 fingers, 10 toes. Yeah. Mr. Pastry says, on Chuck Norris, an honorary knighthood for services to the spinning round kick and hidden gusset jeans. Is Chuck Norris still alive? I think he is. Get an honorary knighthood. Sometimes we give honorary knighthoods to Americans, don't we? It has happened. Yeah, why not? Chuck Norris. Okay. Our Rob or Ross says, the A10 is ugly like a pug. So ugly it's cute. Right. Yeah. Things can be so ugly they're cute. Yeah. Rubber Duck says, memorized my American jets. And then like a smiley face thing. Cool, okay. Memorize them. Max Robe says, Lockheed SR-71 Blackbird, still best looking. Yeah, the Blackbird, that's an amazing thing. The Blackbird. For anyone who doesn't know, Google SR-71 Blackbird. Absolutely incredible piece of engineering. Some of the most remarkable things human hands have ever built. Stuff like that. Okay. Mr. Contact says, a man in an A-10 saved mine and my team's lives more than once. Big heart for A-10. Oh, interesting. Cool. Thanks for the money there. I guess you were serving on the ground somewhere in Iraq or Afghanistan or something. Calling ground support. Suddenly roaring overhead. An A-10. No more enemy. Lovely. Well, terrible. But good. You get it. Principal Dunsurcy says, Trump laughing about sinking 40-odd Iranian vessels was impossibly vulgar. No veteran would treat such matters so lightly. What a crass, shallow man. Yeah, well, it is what it is. I mean, I didn't see him laughing about it, but if you say he did, I'm sure he did. I can believe it. It is a bit. If I was ever a leader or a war leader, I would be very solemn about that sort of thing. Yeah, even if inwardly, on some level, I was delighted politically, truly in the military sense. Don't go around laughing and joking about it. Yeah, you're right. It's not the correct response, is it? Really? Yeah, fair enough. David Betts, 1180, says, women's rugby was so much better than football. Yeah, some women's... The amount of shade I chucked at women's football earlier, some women's sport is really good. Like, I think women's tennis is very, very good. The level of skill, actual skill in women's tennis is very, very high. And the fact that they've got slightly less power means that rallies can and do go on for longer. You get good tennis. It's a good thing to watch. It's entertaining to some degree. Women's football. It's pathetic. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. Other women's sports, very, very good. Some other things, right? You ever watch like women's hockey, not ice hockey, normal non-ice hockey, like at the Olympics? Women's really, really good at it. They're great. Loads of things. There's loads of other things that women's sports is all right. Not football. Somehow, still. It's like women's basketball. Women can do some sports really well. They absolutely can. Not football. All right. Principal's Uncertainty says, poll suggestion, favourite Harry of the Lotus Eaters. I vote for little Harry, personally. Big Harry's going to beat me up for that. No, okay. God, someone's got a very, very long name there. Albino Norbergen Granderson. I'm not even going to try and spend a few moments trying to read that properly, I'm afraid. But thank you for the bit of money you've sent. An extra bit of money. Oh, no, you spent a fair bit of money there. Albino Norbergen Granderson. Okay. You said, hey, Bo, yesterday was my birthday. Well, belated happy birthdays for yesterday. On my birthday, Osama bin Laden was born, and that Roman victory over Carthage. P.S. Scipio Africanus is a better general than Hannibal. Yeah, well, in the ultimate reckoning, yeah, the Battle of Zama. Yeah, you're right. Scipio Africanus, not Scipio Aemilianus. Yeah, the Scipio that finally fought Hannibal outside Carthage, Zama. Yeah, I think he was. Although Hannibal did pull off some truly remarkable on epochs, talk all about this stuff, or on History Bro. Some of the first recordings I ever did with Mr. Carl Benjamin, before Lotus Eaters even existed, on my old channel, History Bro, check it out, it's all free, there's no paywall, it's all free. There's a couple of videos there all about Hannibal, and I think they're 2.5 hours a piece. So there's 5 hours there of me and Cole just chatting about Hannibal and the Second Punic War. I mean, ultimately, Scipio Africanus did defeat Hannibal, so there's that. But earlier, Hannibal pulled off some absolutely unparalleled things. Go to History Bro, check it out. Consider subscribing. Okay, what else have we got? Thundercook 2028 says, Ukraine getting bombed for years forced them to pioneer equipment that is now being sent to the Gulf to protect it. They do have cards after all. Okay. Yeah, I mean, sounds like a correct statement. Big Taffy Swatchers 6222 says, good morning, Bo. Been in the Royal Navy for 10 years, and I must say the people are the beating heart of the service, yes. But we have watched the Royal Navy disintegrate due to the usual government problems. Restore are big in Royal Navy. Nice. Nice to hear that. Brilliant. Good. Thank you for your service as well. Yeah, that is the thing about modern armies, despite that it's actually weapons systems that win wars, still those weapon systems have to be used by people, don't they? Still though, so it's the people that make or break it, if they're incompetent or not. I mean, on my screen I'm still looking at that image of the, bring it up Harry, still looking at that image of the New Zealand Royal Navy warship being on fire before sinking. It's the people, right? You could have the best ship in the world, but if the person piloting it, commanding it, is completely useless, then it doesn't count for much, does it? Weapon systems win wars, but those weapon systems are still ultimately handled by people. So you're quite right. You're quite right, Big Taffy Swatchers. Okay, a few more, let's get through them. Azzy0161 says, petition for Nate to be the first guest on the Bo Show. As a Whispers State of Politics fan, State of Politics, I'd love to see him on the Most Based Breakfast Show. Yeah, I think I will start getting some guests on at some point soon. Got loads of different guests I could get on. Loads. Get Nate on first, just saying. Maybe, could possibly. The only thing is that, you know, it's early in the morning. You're actually asking someone to get out of bed almost certainly earlier than they might otherwise have done. Nate actually says he hasn't got any problem with it. He's got dogs, hasn't he? And you have to get up early for them anyway. And people that have got kids will get up early anyway. But no, we'll have guests at some point. We'll have various guests. Okay. Luke Stewart on YouTube says, sorry for getting you to try and read that one. The expletive ridden one earlier. Also thank you for your great evening show, and guys please hit the like button and help Breakfast with Bo. Yeah oh god, yeah, hit the like button, smash the like button. I never say that. Is that the first time I've said it on the whole of Breakfast with Bo? Smash the like button. Like and subscribe. Should say that more, really should, actually should. Like and subscribe. Okay, thanks Luke for doing that reminder. Another one from Luke saying, for clarification, the Christians decided to stay Boxing Day. Was this in the 2001 one? Thus they all survived the tsunami because they didn't hit them up in the mountains. Right, all right, okay, right. Good, well, good, good. Some survived. All the Christians survived. Okay. Mike Scott says, will the live show be filmed and put on website? I don't know. All that's up to Carl and a couple of people behind the scenes that are organising it. I would think so. Certainly at least clips, but I really don't know. I got nothing to do with all that sort of thing, really. I just don't really do any backroom, middle, back office functions. I'm front office. I'm the talent. No, I turn up and talk about stuff. I don't make thumbnails. I don't make any real business decisions. None of it. So we'll see. We'll see. I would hope so, though. I probably will be asked my input at some point, and I will say, I will argue for, yeah, put it on the internet. At least put it behind the website, behind the paywall for a bit, and then put it entirely out, just free on the internet, something like that. I don't know. It's up to them. People that actually know about algorithms and how the internet works, what's the most best efficient thing for Lotus Eaters to do. I don't know. I don't really engage in any of that stuff. But if it were up to me, yeah, I'd just put it out there. Or even stream it live, maybe. I don't know. Maybe that's technically difficult. Again, I don't know. I have nothing to do with the cameras and all the wires and how the mics work and everything. I don't know. I don't do any of that. I'm a boomer. I'm not a boomer. In terms of being technically inept, I'm a boomer. I don't know how things work. The other day, my laptop almost stopped working. Twitter wasn't working. I didn't know what was going on. One of the guys, who know what they're doing, technical guys at Lotus Eaters, okay, can you have a look? My laptop's not working. And he was like, yeah, you've literally got like 8 meg of memory left. So that's not even enough memory to refresh a Twitter page. I didn't even know. I had no idea. I was like, oh, right. So I just delete a load of crap on there. And they're like, yeah, yeah. Delete a load of crap you've got on there that you don't need. You have never needed. Why is it on there? I'm like, oh, I don't know. That's how technically inept I am. All right. Last one here for the day. Luke Stewart again says, what about lingerie football? Hope you have a good day, everyone. Everyone else have a good night. I wonder if I'll be awake for the podcast or not. Yeah, lingerie football. That was a thing. Luke hasn't just made that up. That was a thing. American football. Ladies in lingerie, not, I mean, it's a bit more than lingerie, it's like sports adjacent lingerie, playing American football. That was, I don't think it exists anymore. Maybe it does. Certainly used to exist. Like smashing into each other playing American football, you know, with a crash helmet on, like skimpy. Luke hasn't made that up. That is a real thing in the world, if you didn't know. All right. Lingerie football. Didn't think I'd be talking about lingerie football this morning. But okay, that's the show. It's now 31 minutes past nine. It's supposed to be a 1 hour show. Don't say I'm not generous. 31 minutes past nine in the AM, Greenwich Mean Time, on Wednesday, 11th of March, in the year of our Lord 2026. You have been the glorious band. The chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters. Thank you for watching. I really do appreciate it. Without you, it isn't anything. It's really not a thing. You make it. It's you. This is for you, in aid of you. So thank you. Thank you for watching. Try and make the best of the day ahead, if you can. Carpe diem, seize the day, if you can. Try and make it count. Your time's valuable. It's the only thing you can never get back again, is your time. It's the most valuable thing you've got. Far more valuable than any sort of precious metals or things, is your time. Try and make it count. Okay, till tomorrow morning. Take care.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.